want to begin this morning in Romans 5 and 1. We go back to the book of Romans. It's a good place to start.
Place to stay, too.
Yeah. I guess I could probably say this is Romans 5 and 1 is my favorite scripture in the Bible, if it'd be a favorite. I come here most often. It says so much. We're talking a while ago about up in our little community house. We had a community church. Baptist met one Sunday, and Methodist met the next Sunday. And back in those days, they didn't have very much different in their teaching. Everybody went to church, had a good time, and they were teaching sovereign grace. Most part, that's what they were teaching. They didn't call it that, but that's what they were teaching. And we've come all the way from that to the point that salvation is lost in the ideas of modern man. Nowadays they'd tell you that you could just be at peace with God through a decision. Just be at peace. No, man not born that way. He's not made that way. He's at enmity with God. And he can't have any peace. They try to legislate it all the time. Our legislators are busy, busy, busy trying to make more laws to control man and bring him in some kind of harmony, one with the other. But in that, there is no peace. I have a great problem, and I think any Christian would, with the idea that you can just decide to be at peace with God. Now, I won't go back to the Israelite people again. When we take a look at them, with all of God's dealing with them, all the miracles, all the care that God took over them, and yet they murmured. They're out there, but they couldn't find any peace. Lord, you've led us out here in the wilderness to kill us. And there wasn't any peace in them. Now if those people could find no peace, having seen all the things that God had done for them, first over in Egypt, when he persuaded, over a period of time, persuaded the Pharaoh to finally let him go or send him out, which he shortly changed his mind. And he's going to go after him again. But God saved him through all those things. And yet they murmured. Now, if those people could not, in all those things, find peace with God and make a decision that they disliked what God was doing, how in the world could a man today find that? Certainly the preaching of the gospel is where it's found. First in repentance. You understand that man, under the penalty of the law, is under the penalty of death. Death reigns. Well, there must be something that would pay that debt. You understand, it's capital offense. That's where that idea come from. Off with the head. Take it off. It's capital offense. And that's the position that man stands in. And he's mad at God because he's under this pronouncement of death. So he must appease himself some way. And that's what's happened. You know, this idea of just deciding to like God has got a hold of this whole world. Man can't like God when in his natural state he's at enmity. He just cannot help it. And he's bent to go that way always. So we come to Romans 5 and 1 said, therefore being justified by faith, we're at peace with God. This peace is talking about is being in harmony or communion with God. Man can't be at peace with God outside of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the only thing. The Holy Ghost comes and then man is changed. Not by his own faith, but by the faith and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and laid down his life that he might pay the penalty of death for his people. It was off with his head, so to speak. So we have peace with God. Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Now we all have moments, because we're still in the flesh, that we question God. But the Holy Spirit is always there. The Comforter is always there. That's what this peace is. It's a comfort of the Holy Spirit. It comes into man and it continues to comfort him. That's the reason we're told to call a solemn assembly, come together and read the Word. Read them the whole law and continue. And now in our day, we assemble ourselves in the same fashion in a solemn assembly that we might hear of the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This faith is a grace. It's not something you have. This has troubled me for years that you'd go out and tell a man that you've got enough faith to be at peace with God. It is impossible. Man is inherently mad at God. And he sought in every imaginable way to appease the God of wrath. You don't want to talk about him nowadays. Just God love. He just loves everybody so much that he let everybody have a chance. And this chance idea, you know what that resounds to is a gamble. Take chance. Step out. But it doesn't bear any fruit. So that's the problem with the whole thing. Therefore, being justified by faith, we are at peace with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Now, the faith he's talking about here is not the faith I got, but the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking under what he does. Now we're much better equipped in our day if a decision was necessary. We're much better equipped than the Israelite people were. They saw all these miracles, but we have that also. And we also have the Holy Spirit. But outside the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel that takes it to the heart of man, then there isn't any repentance or salvation or peace with God. This peace is our comfort. He said, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this is not such a hope as men might think, that we just hope it's going to happen, but it is the hope. It's always present. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Well, that doesn't quite fit with the decision movement. If we bring a little bit of the wrath on and we go through some tribulation like the Israelite people begin to say, Lord, what in the world are you doing? It don't seem like you got good sense. But tribulation for the people of God is an exercise in the growth of faith. If a man's not exercised in it, then he'll have no growth in it. Well, that's the problem. And that brings on the problem, this whole movement that we've got going on. And listen, it's not just the Baptists and the Methodists and Presbyterian. And it's everybody. Everybody falls under the same category. Yeah, just mad at God. They can't find any peace in it. And a little tribulation comes, that makes it worse. Then they begin to doubt and fear and wonder. He said, also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, well, we'd be peace. We're at peace with God. We understand that all the powers are elected of God. And that is our peace, that He is sovereign in all His affairs. He's sovereign. Will God not do what is right? And the answer to that in the Christian's heart is certainly. He does all things well. And in verse 4 he said, in patience, experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. This hope. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's an inheritance. You didn't go get it. You know, you're not going to ascend into the heaven and bring God down, or into the deep and bring God up. He's always there, and He's God, and He's sovereign in all His affairs. And He will call those out that are His people. Those that He has laid, that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down His life for. So that's the love that's shed abroad in the hearts of His people that goes out and does a perfect work. Therefore, we have peace with God. for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, a propitiation. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. We see that in our day, don't we? They're giving up their life for Allah. And it's for the salvation of them and their people. But that's a whole different gospel than this gospel of peace. We don't have to go out and bear arms to try to convince people of our doctrine. It's not our job. You can go beat a man over the head all you want to. You can beat him plumb to death, and you cannot put this doctrine of grace in him. He is convinced that he has grace until tribulation comes. All he's doing, though, is soothing his conscience, because he is also of understanding that he's under the penalty of death. By the way, that's what makes him so mad. I'm going to overcome this thing. God's wrath is not going to come upon me. He'll just have to be pleased with who I am. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, you understand that? We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more. There's a whole lot more to it than that. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our hope is in his resurrection. Life in Jesus Christ. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Well, we're forgiven then, if we be in Christ and not in a decision. This faith thing has gotten out of hand. I don't believe there is anything such thing as godly faith, hardly at all today. You can talk to a lot of people that say, yeah, I've got faith. I've got it. And there is a fine line between that kind of faith and the kind of faith that we're talking about. The faith of the Lord. The faithfulness of the Lord. In that he raised his son from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father. Verse 2. He said, by whom also we have access by faith to what? To the Father. We can enter into the Holy of Holies. To the very mercy seat. We continue to need mercy. But we have that access. We can enter in and find mercy in our time of need. So we enter in. This access, this is a good thing here. Outside of that, though, There isn't any entered in. The law is still there. It's intact. And man is condemned already, and he can't enter in his condemned state. He must be transformed, renewed in his mind, and brought to the point that he can say, God doeth all things well. Back in the first chapter, I guess beginning verse 11, he said, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by mutual faith, both of you and me. This is the way you're going to be comforted, in this faith. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For therein, in this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What this says to me is that that faith bears fruit, and it brings on a like manner of fruit from faith to faith. The faith of the Lord. He's faithful to his people to continue to call out those that are his. The just, he said, shall live by faith. Look at Ephesians. Second chapter. In verse 13, he said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Well, there's where peace comes in, and get rid of the enmity. Even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances for to make in himself of twain one new man. So, making peace. Now, this is not to say that the law hadn't been done away with. This is to say that we of God are not under the penalty of the law anymore. Not under the penalty. The law is good. So we endeavor to keep the law. It's good and it's right and it's just. It's not like these old laws we're making now, that it's always against one group and for the other. But it's good for everybody. Matter of fact, outside the law, man cannot find repentance. It'll keep bringing him to it. So making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby removed it, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is the access I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. We can go to the Father. How is that? Because we're reconciled. We're no longer mad at God. The enmity has been removed. And then we can truly say, God doeth all things well. We may have moments, I said a while ago, that we would wonder. But even after these things that are coming up on the world, when we look at them, in the sense that God is just, then we can understand this kind of faith that says He is our comfort and our comforter. And he continues to teach in that fashion. And the more we learn, the more we exercise, more faith will grow, and the more we can say, yeah, this is true. And I find comfort in this word. It brings comfort. And this peace, you can't separate it from comfort. When you're doing good, for example, when you're doing good and you got money in your pocket and everything's going all right, you can be at peace. You can rest in that. But when things are not going so good, it takes a greater faith in mine and yours to keep it all together. First chapter of Ephesians, verse 17. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And this is where it all lies right here, in the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, His inheritance is another good word in here. He's going to inherit the saints. The Father gave them to Him, but we're going to inherit also. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. And this is where it's all found right here. We believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Seek the Lord. That's where it's all found. In the seeking, who believe according. This has underlying thing. According to the working of His mighty power. It is not left to man to work this thing out, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So He doeth all things well, then. Put it all together. And that's our consolation. That's our hope. I said before, not like men, some men would hope, but our hope is assurance. It's real. And it's there. And our assurance is that the Father hath put all things in His power. That nothing is uncertain with the Lord. To all them that believe. Book of Romans, he's always setting forth two things. The wrath of God and the grace of God. He continues on with his people, proving them every day, working out their salvation. Some would preach today that salvation comes in a moment, and in a sense it does. But in another sense, it must be endured to the end. So there's always a preaching of the gospel that reinforces the faith of his people. It continues to grow and expand until he could say, yeah, no matter what happens, God is still God. He's exactly who he says he is.